You guys, for those of you who are not here on Saturday nights at OCCYG, we've been walking through the book of Mark together. We are going to kind of continue this morning in the book of Mark, and we're in Mark chapter 8. What we're going to do is we're just going to kind of hit the ground running. So if you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, and it's kind of a short passage this morning. It's Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26, okay? All right, so let's get right into it, okay? Mark 8, chapter 8, verse 22, says this. Then they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the blind man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus said, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." This is the word of the Lord. Okay, when we're looking at this passage, at first sight, it looks like a nice Bible story, doesn't it? I mean, it just looks like the thing that Jesus is always doing, showing compassion on people, loving people, healing people. And you know, and as a casual reader, if you were to read through the book of Mark, you might just kind of read through this passage and just go, hey, that was a nice story. That was a good Bible story. He heals another guy, right? He's healed a lot of people. And so then you just kind of move on past that, okay? But there's more to this passage than when we first glance at it, all right? Impart to you guys is that when we look at scriptures, we always want to look at the context, okay? We always want to ask questions like, what's the immediate surrounding of this passage? What kind of passage is it? What's the historical background of this passage, okay? And so you guys in OCCYG, you guys remember the story earlier in Mark where John the Baptist was being beheaded? You guys remember that story? Okay, all right, and do you remember what was the significance? It was a flashback, right? It was a flashback, right? And do you guys remember what was before that story and what was after that story? Do you remember? Jerry, do you remember? Okay, yeah, you're talking about King Herod, and that there was someone walking around, and he thought maybe it was King Herod thought it was maybe John the Baptist risen again, or like resurrected somehow, came back to life somehow. Okay, that's a part of the story. Do you guys remember what story was before? They're kind of going along in this passage, and all of a sudden you hear this flashback of John the Baptist. Is anyone good enough to remember? Or maybe you can just look in your Bibles. Remember what story was before? Yeah, so what it was is the disciples were being sent out. Disciples were being sent out to preach, right? And then do you know what story came after? Like what was kind of coming right after? Go ahead. Okay, that is after. That's true. What's right after, the sentence like right after John the Baptist's story of him being heading? Okay, that's true. where I'm growing with this, okay, is that, okay, what was happening was Mark was showing that Jesus was sending out the 12, and he sent them a message, right? He said, here's the message. I want you to tell people to turn around, turn back from your sin, tell them the good news, right? Heal people. And then there was the story of John the Baptist, And John the Baptist was the story of him. Do you guys remember the story of him? He was telling, John the Baptist was telling King Herod to turn around. Turn around, because you're sleeping with the wrong person. You're connected with the wrong person. You're having an adulterous affair, right? So his message is also turn around. And then right after that passage of John the Baptist being headed, the disciples come back from there going out. And so what it was kind of this strange way of, like, you're kind of reading Mark, and it's kind of like you have this story of Jesus sending the 12 out with this message of repent, of turn around. And then you have the story of John the Baptist going to someone and saying, turn around, but then he gets beheaded. And then you have the disciples coming back, right? So there's this correlation, this message of kind of like the thrust of it was like, look, when you go out, when you give this message of telling people, I want you to, you need to turn around, you need to turn away from your sin, and here's the gospel message, there's risk in that. And so it was kind of this way that Mark placed the story was kind of like a sandwich. It was kind of like there was this top piece of bread of, like, the disciples are going out, and then all of a sudden there's this meat or peanut butter or whatever you want to put in the middle of your sandwich of this story of, John the Baptist telling people to turn around, but you can kind of see the results of that. There's risk, and then the disciples come back. And so what it was is kind of this whole idea of, like, hey, I want to show you, those who are reading Mark, that when you go out and share the gospel, when you tell people to turn, you're giving this message, there's risk in it. John the Baptist lost his head. Some people won't respond to the message well. Right, some people won't respond to the message as well, but it was this real kind of strange way of having these stories, this kind of sandwiched right in the middle of these two portions. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like, you know, have you guys watched the movie, and you start a movie, and the start of the movie is the end of the movie, right? It's the end of the movie, and you're like, you start this movie, you're going into it, and you're like, what's going on here? What's happening here? And you see the end of the movie, and then all of a sudden it goes back from the end of the movie to, like, leading up to how they got to that point, right? It's just a more interesting way of telling a story, because you're like, what? What was that, right? And so what's happening here is something similar, okay? Something similar. In our passage right now, it's something similar, okay? So what we have is we've got Jesus, okay? There's this guy who is, he's blind. People are taking him to Jesus, and he spits on him, and he heals him once, and then he heals him twice. But look what happens before. Let's take a look at the context kind of before, okay? Read with me in verse 14 of chapter 8. It says this: the disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had brought with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves and for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketful of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Okay? And so there's this piece of, we're talking about the top piece of bread here, and it's talking about spiritual blindness, okay? The disciples have forgotten to bring. It's a weird sentence. Look at verse 14. It's kind of an odd sentence. It says, the disciples forgot to bring bread into this boat, except for the one loaf that they had in the boat. What is that? What is it? Mark is showing them that, hey, actually the loaf that's in the boat, that's Jesus. He is the bread, right? And he goes through this discussion with them. And they begin to talk about, wait, why is he talking about bread? You know, and Jesus is like, why are they talking about bread? I'm not talking about bread, right? I'm talking about bread, right? I'm talking about life, right? Okay? Do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have ears but fail to hear? Do you still not understand? Okay, so here's the top piece of bread. There's some spiritual blindness that's happening with the disciples. We've been talking about this with OCCYG for quite some time. There's just like, they just can't get it. They're not seeing it, okay? And then let's go to the bottom half of the sandwich, okay? So there's that story. They're just not seeing. They're not hearing. They're with the bread of life right with them in the boat. They just can't see it. Okay, and let's go to the bottom piece of the bread. So we've read the story about the blind man, about being him healed. So skip past that. And what happens is there's a story of Peter's confession, verse 27, okay? Let's look at the bottom piece of the bread. Jesus and his disciples went to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." Jesus goes, "Hey, okay, what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. All right, so all of a sudden, ding, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They say it. Peter says, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the one we've been waiting for. This is it. We get it. We get it. We get it," right? Right, and so, but what happens right after that? And we'll kind of walk through this on Saturdays. But what happens right after that? So you think, oh, he got it. He sees him. He's clear. It's clear as a bell, right? But look what happens right after that. So right after that, it says he began to teach them the Son of Man must suffer for many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, that must be killed and must be killed 3 days after. 3 days and rise again, okay? Rise again after 3 days. He spoke plainly about this. And what happened? Jesus said to the disciples, Peter says, "Ah, you're the Savior. You're the Messiah." And then he says to them, "Look, you know what's going to have to happen? I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be crucified. 3 days I'm going to rise." He tells them plainly. And then what Peter does is he pulls him aside. He says, "No, you don't. You better not be, right? You better not be." And then you're like, he still doesn't get it, right? He still doesn't get why Jesus came. He has a different picture of a different Messiah, one who maybe will deliver them somehow, maybe from Rome or something. He has a completely different picture, right? A different picture. And so what's in the middle, you've got spiritual blindness at the top. You've got kind of like this fuzziness or this haziness at the bottom. And in the middle, you have this picture about physical blindness, right? Where Jesus goes, "I'll touch you once, you'll be able to see." What can you see? "I see people, but they look like trees to me." Jesus touches them again, and then he has total clarity. He's like, "What do you see now?" "I see it perfectly. Everything's clear," right? So you have the top piece of bread, you've got the bottom piece of bread, and then you've got today's passage right in the middle that talks about how Jesus touches him twice and he can see with crisp clarity. So you can you kind of see why Mark put this passage here? It's not just another story about Jesus healing a blind man. That's a really nice story, really good one, you know. We know that he can heal blind people. It's not just a story you just kind of pass by. It makes sense of like, hey, this story is not just a quaint story. It's about, look, Jesus can touch people, and he can begin to open their eyes, and then we need a second touch. The blind man needed a second touch, and so do we, okay? I need a volunteer. Okay. God, enthusiasm. Okay, come on up. Thomas, I'm going to give you something. I don't know. Some people might be weirded out by this. But actually, Thomas, these are, have you used these before?
Ear pluggers.
Ear pluggers. Yes, ear pluggers. And so can you take these? And what I want you to do is to roll them up like this, really thin, like that, and then stick them in your ear, okay, so that are deep down in there. Not so they disappear, You still want to grab them when you're done. And then roll the other one up. Roll the other one up and stick it in your other ear. And what you'll experience is as they expand, you got to stick it deep in there, right? Get it down in there so it's touching the wax. Okay, you can sit down, okay? Go ahead and sit down. Is it deep down? Is it deep in there? Okay, good. So I can't hear. You'll experience it kind of like just foaming out, and it'll fill up your ears, and I'll get quieter and quieter pretty soon. Okay? All right. And so what I want to do is I want to show you, I want to encourage you guys, by showing you a brief timeline of our life, how God works in our lives, okay? How God works in our lives, all right? I need one more volunteer. Okay, God, okay? Can I have you put these on? Okay. And then can you put these on over those glasses? Yeah, she's got three pairs of glasses on now. Okay, good, good. Turn this way. Can you see anything?
No.
Okay, all right, okay. Stand right here. You can just stand for just a moment, okay? Thomas, can you come here? And can you keep those in. Yeah, put them back in so they're nice and compact in there. Okay, are they in nice and good? Okay, now put this over. Okay. Is that good? Good. Okay, can I have you guys do something for me? Jeanette, can you actually just climb onto this table? Climb onto this table and just lie. It's a big, long table. You can feel the whole thing. Can you just lie down on the table? Just make yourself comfortable. Thomas, can you come around to this side? And just lie down as well. Just lie down on the table. Just relax. You guys are comfortable. Good. Good. Okay. So what I wanted to do, again, is I want to just kind of walk you through a timeline of how God works in our lives. And here's how it starts out. Okay? Spiritual zombies. Okay? What happens is that actually we are spiritual zombies when we start out. When we were born, you're a spiritual zombie, okay? These guys are alive, right? Alive, but spiritually, oh, nuts. Spiritually, they're dead, okay? They're breathing, they're awake, they can see. It says, once we're dead, doomed forever because of your many sins. You used to live just like the rest of the world.